and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend, the show where we go behind the scenes and talk to the creators of independent film and series. I'm your host, Victoria Oliver. In our latest short film, Ibn Dixon plays an actor confronted with being typecast as Thug Number 3. Our producer, Jason Godby, got to catch up with Ibn in the studio and talk about the making of Thug Number 3 and the challenges of being typecast.
Hi, it's Jason Godby for No Rest for the Weekend, and with me today in the Rabbit Hole Studio is Mr. Ibn Dixon. Welcome, Ibn.
Oh, what's going on, man? Thank you for having me, bro.
It's great to have you in here. First of all, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Ibn starred in our short film, Thug Number 3.
Yes.
And but before we get to that, I want to just ask you, tell us a wee bit about yourself. Give us your origin story as far as acting. Okay. How did you get to be an actor?
Oh well, I was about 10 years old. I heard on the radio there was an audition for, you know, blase blah kids from ages this and that, and I applied. I wrote down the information in crayon, and I gave it to my mother when she got home.
Do you remember what the audition was for?
It was for Made in Manhattan.
Oh my God!
Yes, it was for Made in Manhattan.
A J-Lo movie.
I've never seen it. I guess
I have not either. I must confess.
Yeah.
did you get the audition? You didn't get the audition.
I didn't.
But even the audition, that was enough to sort of give you the bug.
It was amazing to be able to perform in front of a room full of people. It was amazing.
So, tell me a bit from your angle, because I know what my experience was on the movie.
Yes.
It's a very short film. We filmed it in a day.
Yeah.
And that was kind of part of the exercise. It was one character piece shot in one day. Mm. And to see, you know, it's kind of a challenge to see, you know, can you make that interesting?
Yeah.
You know,
it was a challenge. I will say that.
tell me when I gave you the script, what was your first impression of it?
I thought it was me, to be honest with you.
The character on the page, you said, this sounds like me.
This sounds, yes. I couldn't have wrote it better myself.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes. Oh, no, it was phenomenal.
I would say, you know, that was part of my challenge, too, to try to write. I like writing for actors. I like especially people I know, because I can sort of learn their cadence, learn their voice, mm-hmm. and try to, because I feel like, if you write for a specific actor and you know that person, mm-hmm. and you know how they are, you can write in their voice so that it doesn't sound like they're acting.
Right. Right. Yes.
But with this particular film, you know, you'd have the challenge of sort of, like we talked about when we first got it. Well, first of all, before we get into that, tell us give us a little synopsis of the movie.
Well, It's this young black actor who gets typecast as Thug Number 3, and he's more having a kind of a conversation with himself about whether he's going to do the job or is he going to stand up for himself and say no.
So the risk is, if I take this role, am I going to get typecast like this?
Yes.
You know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, do I hold out and try to get a better part or take another job?
Yes.
Which I'm sure is a conversation that you probably had with yourself.
I've had that conversation with myself. I know several actors that have had that conversation as well. It's definitely something that you deal with as an actor or a performer of color.
The movie was it was inspired by a conversation that we had,
yes.
and I was talking to Ibn about, you know, what do you get cast as, mm-hmm. mostly? And and it was like, you know, because I had seen you in a performance where you were playing a drug dealer, gang leader type,
crazy guy.
And you told me that you were cast as either Thug Number 1 or Thug Number 3 in a movie.
I was thief, but same thing. Thief Number 3.
Thief Number 3.
Yeah, check that out. Thief Number 3 in fighting.
I was like, and I just thought about, like, I remember we had that conversation. And after we were doing a photo shoot together, and I was home, I was going home on the train, and I was thinking about what you would say if you could say it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would the conversation be if you could tell a casting director what you really thought?
Mm-hmm.
And because I know you,
yes.
and I know, you know, that is the furthest thing from you.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like he's like the sweetest guy in the world.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, definitely. And you don't have, I mean, it's like, and a lot of the people playing these roles, it's not like they come from the streets,
yeah,
or, you know, kind of thing. And I mean, I suppose there are some, but mm-hmm. you know, when you have a guy like Idris Elba, who's like a well-trained British actor,
and you would have thought that he was from like the most gutter place in the United States.
Yeah, and like, he sounds like he's from Balmer, you know, yeah. like and on The Wire. But it's the furthest thing from his background as well. What I'm getting at is when you have these, when you get these roles,
yes.
it's the dilemma the character goes through is like, well, great, I got a role, mm-hmm. but you know, for those of you who can't see and who are just listening, I am not black. in case you didn't guess, but you know, for me personally, like I acted years ago and I never had to face that dilemma. I was never really typecast as anything. Mm-hmm. I was a character actor. I got comedy a lot, mm-hmm. which was fine by me because I was good at it. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like, I suppose the equivalent would be like, okay, you're the white guy, so therefore you must play a KKK member.
Got you. Yeah.
Or
yeah,
like
yeah,
a neo-Nazi yeah, yeah, yeah. or a white supremacist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know anybody who would, there's very few people who can pull that off and be comfortable with it, but it's that kind of typecast. Am I mm-hmm. wrong? Would you compare it to the same thing?
I would compare it to the exact same thing, yeah.
And so for you, I'm hoping that when people, you know, and to tell you the truth, you know, it was an exercise in writing and seeing, you know, could I write in this voice? Mm-hmm. And I was also kind of scared. I was a little leery about what people might think when they saw my name at the end of the movie.
Right, right, right.
I gave it to you, and I remember, what did I say? I was like, I gave you this thing, and...
Yeah, you wanted me to check it out, and, you know, I feel like, I guess because... You're just so talented with your writing, bro, that you can speak for other people. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I mean, I was, you know, when
you were
I,
speaking for
I
me,
sent the script to Iman and I was like, tell me if this is okay. Like, uh-huh. tell me if this rings true. Mm-hmm. And if you want me to change anything, I'll change something. But what do you think of it? And if it's total BS, if it's totally, because the last thing I wanted was to be like, Iman, let me tell you what it's like to be a young black actor in America today. Like, that would be disastrous. And I'm sure there's some people who are watching this now after having seen the film going, that guy wrote it?
Yeah,
blue. But, you know, who knows? But the proof is in the pudding. And luckily, we did get a really nice response. And several people commented and said how much they liked it.
Yes.
I had people tell me personally, I love this. Yes. This is something that needs to be said. And I was like, oh, thank God.
I got that as well, though. I got that as well.
What did people tell? What was your people's reaction to you when you first told people about it? Did you show anybody the script?
I didn't. Okay. Actually,
people just saw you in the part.
They saw the pictures, but they didn't know, you know, when I was posting the pictures when we filmed, and they didn't know exactly what we were doing, you know. So they was like, what's going on? Are you playing a thug or whatever? You know, they you know, recognize that, but. And then to see how powerful the piece was, it was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. I got a couple of people adding me on different social outlets, saying, you know, giving me words of encouragement, saying, you know, this was amazing. You know, I love seeing you perform. I want to see you do more. And I'm like, all right, let's go.
Well, you know, I think and not to make this, you know, the Mutual Admiration Society or anything. Mm. I don't want us to hurt, you know, break each other's arms, hitting each other on the back.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the challenge that we talked about for you is that actually you're playing three characters.
Yes.
So you have, basically you start out as you're the thug character.
Yes.
And then you have the actor,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the mirror.
Yes,
who it's like a Jiminy Cricket. it's sort of like the his conscience.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I thought of it as his ego.
Yes.
You know, somebody saying like, listen, this is the reality of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I was worried about, quite frankly, is because of spoilers for a 2.5 minute movie, but I was afraid that people initially would say, why did he make the choice, that choice?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he call that casting director up?
Well, I mean,
did anybody give that to you? Was anybody like, you know, oh man, how come he didn't fight the power or whatever?
I think because, I think because most people, even now, even if you're not in the industry, most people understand if you say that to a casting director, you're not going to be working. Like, if you go off or voice your opinion to the point where you're kind of insulting, you're not going to be getting much work.
I mean, there's a reality of that too, but it's also like, you know, he could have just turned down the job and said no, thank you.
This is true.
But you know, you want to eat that month.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, that's where you got to kind of like swallow your pride. At, you know, for a situation like that. I mean, it's your livelihood, it's your work.
When you've had to play these types of roles before, was there that like sort of thing in the pit of your stomach going, oh man, I got to do this again? Or like,
you know what? It wasn't until maybe like the third time.
So it was like, all right, I'll do this once. And then I'm do it again.
The first time I was like, okay, cool. I get to play a gangster. You know, I grew up watching gangster movies, so that was fine for me. I'm like, okay, I get to, you know, do something that I kind of wanted to, you know, do. And I'm like, okay, I get to like do it again. All right. And then by like the third time, I'm like, I didn't even like audition for this. You like submit, you like it gave me the invitation to audition for this role. And then I'd get it, and I'm like, you know, but it didn't dawn on me then, like, I'm auditioning for these. I'm not just giving, you know, getting handed out. I'm getting auditions, and I'm getting them.
The issue of representation, I wanted to ask you this. I'll put this question to you. Does it make a difference to you when you see somebody who looks like you in a film in a particular kind of role? Like, you said to me before we started here that Will Smith was a hero of yours.
Yes, he is.
Did it make a difference that you never really saw him play a gangster, like he always plays a cop, or he's usually the protagonist. He's usually
like
a good guy,
like the hero.
I don't know. I can't think of a movie off the top of my head where I've seen him play a villain.
I don't think he has.
But did that make a difference to you?
Like to not be able to not see him in that type of environment.
Well, not to see like when you saw somebody like him playing the hero.
Gotcha.
When you saw him play the pilot who saves the day in Independence Day, or the cop in Bad Boys, or the cop in all those other movies where he plays
always,
cops,
always
like
cop.
Men in Black.
He loves being a cop. It's dope.
But, like, what did that do for you?
It showed me that I can be the hero, to be honest. And that's really what I like. Like, I admire. I really want to do. I want to be the hero, you know. So that's what it did for me anyway.
And did you ever, was there ever a situation that, because you're young enough that you grew up with that sort of thing.
Yes.
Did it make a difference seeing a character like Blade or like Black Panther, like these big superhero, I mean, you know, it's one of the few superheroes, it's like over $100 million movie, and we haven't seen that before.
Yes.
Does that make a difference?
It gets me excited because I feel like it's opening more lanes, you know, for people that look like me or people that are, you know, of color, you know. So it definitely gets me excited. You know, I have some dreams of going in that same genre anyway.
You know, and it's funny because it never occurred to me. And I say that sort of shamefully because it was something that I never encountered because I'm always represented.
Right, yeah.
There's never a lack of people on television who look like me.
Yes.
And I thought that I used to say to myself, well, you know, why couldn't people just be inspired by great work, you know,
rather than
like, does it have to be, it sounds like I'm stereotyping, but it's like, if you're a Black actor, do you have to be inspired by Sidney Poitier?
Right.
Or could you be inspired by Marlon Brando?
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe why not both?
Right.
It makes a difference, you know, it made a difference for people to see somebody like Sidney Poitier. I think that, you know, with this movie, it's a very small thing. We just put it out online, and I think it was good to do. I think it's a good exercise. I think you're very good in the movie.
Thank you, sir.
You have a, I think you kind of met the challenge. You definitely lived up to the challenge, and we rehearsed a little bit beforehand. Was there anything particularly challenging there? I mean, you said it's you.
Yes.
But was there anything that was like a little bit of a stretch or that was you presented you with any difficulty as an actor?
I mean, the fact of just like admitting, you know, having to admit to myself, like even though I might not like it, I mean, I'm good at it and this is what I'm probably going to have to do. Like I said, I've had this exact conversation with myself, but it was up here. So saying it out loud was like, okay, it's a different feel than when it's up here.
I think that's the key. It's like somebody needs to say it out loud.
Yes, and that's and that's exactly what it is.
I think, you know, for someone like you, hopefully, you know, if you put it on your website and you have you have it on your casting reel and actors access and so forth.
Yes.
Hopefully, it will kind of show people the versatility of you, and you won't get that, you know, that part.
Yes.
I mean, a part is a part is a part.
And yes.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you'd probably take that part again.
I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm at the point where I'm after what happens in this film. I'm at that point where I'm after that, so I accept. I understand a role is a role, and I'm okay with getting what I like. I never really like get cast as roles that I don't particularly like. I just might get tired of doing it, you know.
Hopefully films like this and the greater representation in the film world as a whole will kind of mix things up. You know, I want to make things in the future where you have people, a mixed bag, people of different colors, and nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, only now, and it's, I mean, this has been a long time, but do you see something like... you know, an interracial couple in a movie, mm-hmm. and that's not the central consent of the movie.
Exactly. Like, they have to, like, stress over that. And it's, like, it's so common. That's common.
Yeah, now it is.
It really is. Well, yeah, now. Because,
It wasn't always. But
right.
And it was more common than people thought. You just didn't see it.
Gotcha.
You just didn't see it on television. Now, you just didn't see it.
They're everywhere.
Anyway... Ibn, we're going to wrap up here in a second. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you in terms of the movie or anything like that? Anything you wanted to say about it?
It was amazing shooting, and I can't wait for our next project.
Yeah, hopefully we can work together again soon. I'm kind of toying with the idea of writing another one of these type of things where another one day piece, because if you're a filmmaker and you want to make a short film, this was a total exercise in resource filmmaking. Mm-hmm. It was, what location can I get, what people can I steal away for a day, and who do I know that I can write for?
Yes.
So everything is reverse engineered. And sometimes when this happens, like this is a rare case where sort of the planets align and, you know, I can get my friend Patrick Reese, who's a wonderful cameraman. I can get Chris Gillard, who's a wonderful sound person.
Amazing.
And, you know, and I can get you to, you know, and to work on it. And then everybody finds a Saturday and we say, okay, let's go do this.
Yes.
It's not, I think the hardest part is the scheduling. You know,
literally, because even though, like, when we all got together, it was like boom, 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 boom. I mean, it didn't even take all day.
No, I mean, it didn't. I mean, it's a
project, so it took time, but it didn't take all day, which was amazing.
Well, we did the work, though. I think the beginning, the prep, and you and I talking about it, I going over the speech.
Yes.
Because it's a choker of a speech.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of speech, and you knocked it out of the park.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Anyway, we're gonna get going. Ibn, where can people find you online?
Instagram at Ibn H Dixon. Or you can also find me on Facebook at Ibn Dixon. Working on the website, so we're gonna come back to that.
All right, so hopefully there will be an ibndixon.com.
Very soon.
And very soon. Okay.
Very soon.
And you're also on, are you on Backstage and Actors Access as well?
I am on Backstage and Actors Access.
Great, and people can look you up there.
Yes, they can.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, and thank you, Ibn. So great
thank
to have you,
sir.
You here, buddy.
As always, thanks so much for taking a trip down the rabbit hole with us, and I'd like to thank our guest, Ibn Dixon. For more episodes of No Rest for the Weekend, check out our website, btrp.nyc/podcast. And check us out on social media. Let us know if there's any topics you'd like to hear in upcoming episodes. On behalf of Jason Godby and myself, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.